The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Welcome to Education America, where we are working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. Join our conversation. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. And as the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So glad to have you here tonight, and wonderful again to have Abigail Johnson,
yes,
my tremendous sidekick co-host.
Yes.
Yeah.
As we endure. Spring is coming, everyone.
Yeah.
Spring is coming.
We hope so.
I'm sitting here crossing my fingers.
I hope it's better than last year's.
Yes. So tonight we have an amazing guest on the podcast, and we're so thankful that he is joining us. We have high school teacher Andrew Banker. He was a teacher at Harding High School. You all may be aware that this high school has been in the news recently due to a series of violent events that led to the fatal stabbing of student Devin Scott, as well as the shooting at his memorial service that injured three more people. Mr. Banker was brought on. His specialty is chemistry. And he was brought on to the school in 2019 and is one of the staff members that unfortunately witnessed these events and was participating in calling the authorities. And we're so glad that he is here today just to tell the story of what has happened here and hopefully how we can help people clamor for change, because we want this school to be safe for these kids.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Nice to see you tonight, Andrew. Mm-hmm. And I might just say on air that we have a fun personal connection. Andrew is actually good friends with my daughter-in-law, I think is really the first connection, right?
Yeah, I knew Emily before.
Yeah, you knew Emily before Nils. And so my wonderful son, Nils' wife. And so I met you at my grandson's first birthday party last year.
That's right.
So
yeah, but do you guys, any of you have friends like Rebecca? Going anywhere with her in public is hilarious, because you always get sidetracked by about 16 people.
Right.
It's so funny. And I'm sure every listener who hears me is like, oh my gosh, I have that friend. I can't go anywhere with them because they get peeled off about five different times by, so I know this person and I know this person. You are hilarious.
I've never even thought of that.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. It makes me laugh. And
I
it also
can't even think of a time that's happened with you. So I'm like, what are you talking about?
I have a list, everyone.
Okay.
I have a list.
All right. Well, I've been around a long time.
Yeah. You have a lot of friends, which is great.
Yeah. Anyway, well, Andrew, after the pandemic, you were excited to have your students back in the classroom, but you had no idea of the violence that was soon going to be taking place, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd like it if you could just share with us, you know, some of the things that you witnessed that was concerning. And was this spring of 2021 then, or spring of 2022?
So I got most involved spring of 2022.
Okay.
Yeah, we started it back in person fall of 2021. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had just really started my teaching career. So I had student taught at Harding fall of 2019.
Okay.
Then took a position there the following spring, but we went right into pandemic and lockdown and distance learning, all that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a lot of time to really try my hand at a physical classroom.
Right.
It was just for about 3 months until March, when everything closed down. We also were on strike during those months.
Oh my gosh.
A lot has happened.
Guy. Your first year of first teaching. Year was, yeah. Oh my goodness.
It was a whirlwind. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we went into distance learning and we felt like we were all reinventing the wheel, trying to figure out how to do that. So then fall of 2022, or fall of 2021, sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
Was when we were back in person.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're back in person. We're trying to create a welcoming environment. We're trying to get students used to interacting again. And and I mean, it was mostly just really exciting at first because it was exciting to have everybody in the building again. You get to feel that energy of everyone being together.
Right.
So then that fall was when there was the first gun incident. At Harding, during that year, we kind of refer to the year in terms of which gun incident.
Oh my goodness, that's so hard. That's so sad.
Yeah, it was a really rough year. And the first instance that happened was definitely shocking and sobering. But I guess it didn't hit me the same way that it did later on with the second and third incidents that happened in the spring. And so
why do you think that is? Because it was, you thought it was such an anomaly maybe?
Yeah. Cause it was the first one. Yeah. So I was like, mm-hmm. this is just a really terrible one-off thing that happened.
Sure.
And I think at that point I had a lot more willingness to say like, oh, they're going to do something about this and, things are going to change. But after the second and third time was where it created a lot of cognitive dissonance for me where it's like, okay, whatever they're trying obviously is not working. And so there needs to be more pressure and there needs to be something else tried. So I know that there were some colleagues of mine after the first incident that they tried to create what's called a letter of directive, which is a list of demands for administration to do something.
Yeah.
And they were silenced in that process. I didn't know about this until later on when I had my own experience. But,
okay.
Then later, I think early.
Do you know how they were silenced? Were they kind of just threatened?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. So they were basically put under formal investigation with the district. So they had to like sit in a meeting and talk about what they had done.
What was the charge against them? To care about their kids and not want an environment that is unsafe?
Right. Yeah. I don't know the details of what happened in their specific meeting.
Yeah.
I just know that they,
you knew
they
that
didn't
there had
go
been
forward
attempts
with it.
And
yeah.
they had not been necessarily been
well, not
successful.
Only not only not listened to, but then investigated. That's,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
a threat.
Yeah,
right?
there's a difference between just ignoring someone who's bringing up an issue and then like actively making sure that they can't, that they're scared to speak up about it.
Yes.
Because
this is what we call in the legal field the chilling effect.
Yes.
Right, a very chilling effect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so, and then because it's happened to me as well, I know the feeling of like when you get the documents, they give you a letter of directive of things that you need to demands that they're making of you as far as what you talk about and don't talk about with your colleagues. And so then it really puts you in this place of like, am I going to lose my job if I do this wrong?
Right.
And so it makes you less willing to have those conversations because you're not sure what's in bounds and what's out of bounds.
Right.
Based on all that.
It's so vague.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Super vague. Mm-hmm. So then in the spring, when the second gun incident happened, that was the one where there's a student holding another student at gunpoint in the bathroom for like a long time. It ended up being a BB gun, not a real gun, but that's still extremely dangerous nonetheless. And I think because I saw the social media video at that time, I think that's probably why it hit me in a different way as well.
Yeah.
And talking to my students and seeing how scared they were. And how they didn't want to go use the bathroom in our school because that had happened.
Can you imagine not feeling like you can even go to the bathroom during the school day? I mean,
right, just the basic human stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So at that point was where I started to get a lot more involved. And I started out by just asking my students some questions about like where they feel safe in the building and where they don't feel safe in the building, and what their expectations are of us as the teachers and as the administration in the building. So I had some survey results of kind of their perspective, but those were just my students. And so I knew that it wasn't representative, and I hoped that other teachers would be able to kind of get more information, because mm-hmm. I think one of the strange things was that after the first incident and after the second incident, like our principal would get on a live Google Meet that goes out to all the classrooms, and she would talk about what happened and how we were going to move forward. But one of her main points was always like, you as the students, you know more and you know earlier than mm-hmm. we do mm-hmm. as the teachers and admin. Mm-hmm. So please let us know if anything happens.
Okay.
Which I think is true. Mm-hmm. I think it's absolutely mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. And I think it's extremely irresponsible to say that and then not actively learn from your students.
Exactly.
Because if they know more and they know sooner, but you're not asking them what they know, then you have no idea how big the iceberg is.
Right. Right.
And so I think it was really irresponsible for them to not invite students and families to be a part of the conversation early and try to understand even what they're dealing with.
Right.
I went to like a parent listening circle that happened after the third incident. And there were parents saying like, yeah, my son tells me all the time that his friends bring like knives to school. Mm. And so if that's the knowledge that the students have, but us as teachers and admin are totally blind to it, then we don't even know what could happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it also then gives the kids a sense of, well, why would I even bother telling you if I don't think you're going to do anything about it anyway? I mean, did they yeah. have that sense maybe? Or
I don't know. I would be really curious to ask students how yeah. that feels, because
yeah.
I know that there's a tip line, and that's how a lot of these instances were. Someone would make the administration aware of it through the tip line, part of the district safety protocol. But the tip line is a passive system, and mm-hmm. so you're only getting what people happen to tell you, as opposed mm-hmm. to a more proactive system of trying to figure out what's going on overall
right.
in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how many students here are even aware of that tip line. I don't know if they feel like it's useful mm-hmm. or helpful. It's hard to know when you don't have feedback loops
right.
about those types mm-hmm. of things and how well they're working, how well they're not working, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is now spring of 2022, mm-hmm. right? And you've done this survey. You reach out to some of the other staff members and ask maybe, can you consider doing this? And that's when you get your letter. Is that right?
What was the inciting incident? Okay. So the survey was its own thing that came first. I also spoke at a student walkout.
Okay.
I didn't even share any of my own personal views. I just said, hey, if you need help contacting the administration or the district administration, right. I would be happy to help you contact them.
Right. Such a terrible thing to say.
Yeah. pretty on the edge. And so then the culminating thing was that I talked to my union and ask them what is like in my lane to do to make change at in mm-hmm. my building. Mm-hmm. And because I was thinking maybe there's like someone in the union that like can work with me and we can collaborate and do something.
Sure. That makes sense.
Right. And, mm-hmm. and so but after talking to them, they said like, yeah, basically like you are the union, like you as a union member are the person that creates the change. And so if you want something to happen, you need to organize it. And I said, okay, like, is there any format that happens in? And they said that they suggested the letter of directive as that list of demands that you make of administration.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that the first letter of directive got shut down. I don't know if they knew that mm-hmm. either.
Mm-hmm.
But I put together a Google document, tried to make it as democratic as possible, created a timeline. I said, like, I want all the teachers and staff in the building to give as many ideas as you can possibly think of, mm-hmm. of demands we could make for administration. Mm-hmm. And then once we have an exhaustive list, then we can actually vote on them. And then whichever ideas are the most represented, we can bring those to admin and say, mm-hmm. like, the staff in your building think these things need to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And be able to say that with some authority.
Mm-hmm.
So that document ended up being seen by the principal mm-hmm. and about a day later. And So it didn't actually even get traction. Like, there weren't a lot of other people were able to contribute their ideas because she saw the document. And then once I saw that she saw the document, I let people know, like, don't go near this document.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew that I was on the hook at that point because basically 20 minutes after she saw the document, I got – I don't know if it's 20 minutes. It was a few – less than a few hours.
Yeah.
But I got an email from an HR consultant person or HR staff member from the district saying, you are under investigation. You cannot speak to anybody about any of this, and you can't have any retribution towards anyone who brought this up.
Wow.
And so just sitting there on a Saturday thinking, what did I get myself into?
I just started my career, and I'm finally back in person, and I care about my students, and I'm trying to help them, and then this is what happens to me, and now I might lose my job. That's got to be a very bad place to
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Yeah. And the administration hadn't created any space for us to do that collaboration.
Right.
And I mean, one of the things that I think is the saddest is that no one ever picked up the phone and said, like, hey, Andrew,
right.
I can tell you care about this. Let's collaborate.
Right. Yeah.
It was just like radio silence until bam, you're under investigation.
Yeah.
And I think that's. Yeah.
That's just such a we versus them way to do it.
It's not leadership.
No. Yeah.
And what does that tell you as teachers, the level of concern about not just the student's safety, but your own?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I cannot get past the number of incidences that I read about or hear about through personal experience with, you know, friends and people that... These things are happening. They're undeniably happening that this is an unsafe environment where kids are.
Right.
This feels like an easy win.
Mm-hmm.
We all want there to be no guns in schools.
Right.
I mean, you should be able to go up to any adult and say, do you think that kids should be scared for their safety in school?
Or going to the bathroom?
It should be like everyone should say, absolutely not. This should be bare minimum.
Right.
We can disagree on a myriad of other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But children should not be afraid to use the restroom.
Yeah.
Children should not be afraid for their safety in school. So if this is happening and the administration does nothing, what does that say about their response to that question?
And absolutely.
And
I mean, that's why I left in the end. I would have stayed if I was part of something collaborative and generative and creative and that where we were making some changes. And but it was the fact that my participation, my engagement in the topic got me silenced and shut down. It's a very helpless feeling to put your neck out there and for you to just be just cold shut down.
I want to talk about what you shared, at least with Jody ahead of time, that there were like 40 to 70 kids that were really roaming the halls, not going to class. Mm. That sounds like that started right away in the fall, right when you returned to in-person learning.
Yeah.
And that was taking place kind of throughout the year. To what degree do you feel that, like, I have no idea, were these kids that were involved in this stabbing, were they of that group of kids that was roaming the hallways? You know, to what degree does that contribute to what you were seeing with this violence? I can't imagine that it would be helpful.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like, I've been doing some subbing this spring, and so I've been in other buildings, and I've seen how other buildings approach hallways and approach cell phones and approach all sorts of things. And so it's pretty obvious to me at this point that, like, that is a symptom of a failed environment, that you have that many kids that probably feel like they don't have a place in the classroom, or that are that they don't see any reason to be in the classroom, but they're still in the building and they're still wandering around and they're still doing something. And it's just, it's a lot of open space it's unstructured and unsupervised. And it's also just disruptive to all the other classes that are going on.
Because they're probably loud.
Yeah.
They're probably laughing and having a good time. And...
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, we all know. I mean, teenagers are the wisest among us. They should have loads of unsupervised, unstructured right. time. Oh, wait. No, that's probably not. We and again, you can right. disagree on, you know,
and what
different
about
kids
learning,
in different situations.
Right.
But mm-hmm. yeah. generally speaking, yeah. Yeah. you know, yeah. supervision is good. Structure is good.
Yeah. yeah and
to
I,
some extent.
I think also just like actual academic support to make the school somewhere
yes.
where these students are getting the help they need. Like, I think there was just a lot of assumptions made coming back after the pandemic. So you had these students coming in that had missed a huge chunk of instruction. And then, sure. but then they're in a classroom where things are kind of going as they would have in 2018. Mm-hmm. And the academic frustration and kind of the feeling of like, I'm not supposed to be here, or like, mm-hmm. I can't handle this. Like mm-hmm. those kind of feelings, you can imagine why a student wouldn't want to be in a classroom where
yes.
they feel like they're not up to the task.
Right.
They have a negative relationship with the teacher mm-hmm. and there's no like clear consequences on what happens if they're in the hallways.
Right.
So it's like those, mm-hmm. those snowballing effects yeah. definitely led to a lot of chaos in the hallways. And mm-hmm. I know for a fact that it's not just Harding that had
oh,
that
yeah.
issue in 2021 or mm-hmm. 2022 or 2023. Mm-hmm. Other buildings in the district have the same issues. And so
I've even been told about buildings in other districts that have the same issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and
mm-hmm.
it's
not limited to St. Paul.
It's not limited to St. Paul mm-hmm. and it is a tough it's a tough problem to address.
Yeah.
And so I don't, again, it's not like it's easy. It's not like there's a simple answer to it,
yeah.
but
mm-hmm.
but it's you have to do something because that chaotic energy that ends up in the hallways is just a very easy like place for a terrible situation to yeah. occur.
Well, mm-hmm. and I mean for anyone at that age, unsupervised, unstructured time is just mm-hmm. not where the best things are going to happen. And again, this is stuff that as adults and anyone who is or has been a parent generally knows. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know, my kid still needs supervision. They might be the best kid in the world, mm-hmm. but too much free time, too much, mm-hmm. you know, time alone or without an adult checking in, you know. And again, this isn't home time or the weekend. We're talking about you're supposed to be at school. You're supposed to be learning
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And again, it just feels like we're going back to things that 10 to 15 years ago, you should be able to talk to anyone on the street and say, hey, do you feel like when kids are in school, they should be in the classroom, whether mm-hmm. that's in a standard class or if they mm-hmm. need academic support and help, mm-hmm. then, you know, especially, you know, the
right.
school that they're in should be providing an environment where they can actually learn
yeah.
basic things of that are their structure to some extent and their safety.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't quite
it seems basic.
Fathom
yeah.
how we've lost the thread mm-hmm. on this mm-hmm. so much because it is. It's complicated, especially with a lot of these kids, particularly, and this is something you and I, have, mm-hmm. Rebecca, talked about a ton, in Minneapolis and St. Paul, you know, we were going, who's advocating for these kids?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's
this is, I mean, these schools, in some cases, these schools are the only safe place that these kids have.
Right.
This is supposed to be, you know, connecting with their teachers and mm-hmm. the administration should be a positive interaction for them. And we are locking them out.
Right.
And we're keeping them at home, which in some situations is not a great environment.
Yeah. In the name of trying
in the name
to
of,
help them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes
and
no sense.
And so they took
to
2 years off of school.
Yep.
What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
You cannot yeah. begin to reteach chemistry as though, well, we just came back from Christmas break.
Yeah.
This
exactly.
2 years is not Christmas break.
Exactly.
There's some real mm-hmm. academic detriments
losses.
That have happened, which I'm thankful yeah. that some people were willing to talk about at the mm-hmm. time. And now some news media yeah. outlets are willing to
and,
start recognizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty late to the game, but I was definitely advocating for students to have as normal of a schooling as possible. At least at fall of 2021, but there mm-hmm. there were scientists and folks talking about how important that would have been.
Yeah.
And so looking back on it, I think it is one of the saddest pitfalls of mm-hmm. like what our country and our society chose to do.
Yeah.
Because I think that these students who were already had the largest achievement gaps
yep.
in the cities.
Yeah.
Were the ones that were that were kept from school the longest.
Yep,
and
yep,
so the,
yep,
the people that had the means to go to schools that stayed open, those were the ones that had the least disruption.
And absolutely. And not only that, but even when the other ones were online, they had more support at home.
Exactly.
These kids, yeah, when they tried to do online school, what a joke that was. Most of them didn't have the support.
Exactly.
You know,
your parents working 2-3 jobs.
Yeah, yeah. I frequently told the story that I was at a restaurant in the fall of 2020 and COVID was most of the schools were closed, and we were thankfully open, but we were private, so we could do that. And there was a little boy at a booth in a restaurant, looked to be about 7 or 8 years old, trying to do something on his iPad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure his mom or dad worked somewhere in the restaurant. Yeah. I never saw anybody check on him. We were there for probably an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. Nobody ever checked on him the whole time. And I just thought, this poor kid is probably trying to do school all by himself.
And this poor parent is trying to make their rent check or whatever
right.
it
they
is.
They had and to take him. They didn't want to leave him home alone.
But you just think, like, okay, but in what world, you know, this 7 or 8 year old is not going to be able to do this on their own.
Right. And that's the frustration.
Yeah.
You know, we are running so short on time here.
Why does this always happen?
Done a second show with you, Andrew. Yeah. but, you know, one of the things I guess I'd like to talk about is what do you feel can be done differently? I kind of want to end on a positive note here in the last minute or so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess one of the things that I think is really interesting, and I don't know if this is made publicly available, but there was a listening session for the district where a few hundred parents and students and families and teachers came and spoke, and 63 people spoke. So there was a there was a lot to be said. It was like 3 hours long, and it was just beautiful to see people show up and and care about their the education of their kids and care about the context that their kids are learning. And it was also really fascinating to hear the wide range of perspectives that people had. And so you had students and you had parents and you had teachers who were saying, we need cops back in school. You also had students and parents and teachers saying, there's reasons why we asked for cops to not be in school. And I didn't know these things, but there was a pretty brutal interaction with a student, with a police officer and a student at Central High School a few years back. And I didn't have that historical context until that night. And so they, so other people are saying, like restorative justice is a different form of accountability that we could, implement. And I know you all have a lot to say about that as well. And would be happy to talk longer about that.
We may have to schedule another.
We may have to schedule another show. Because we are literally down to 50 seconds. So I think we actually have to kind of wind it up here.
So I guess the last thing I would say is just, you need the input of the community. Because if you don't tell them what the trade-offs are, then of course people are enraged and disappointed when things go south. Like, get people involved so that at least when things go south, they are, they were part of the process.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Andrew, we applaud you for standing up for what's best for these kids and for speaking out. And we wish you the best as you proceed in your career. And we do hope to we'll end up having you back again.
That'd be lovely.
And Abigail, always great to be with you.
Yes.
And we invite our listeners to listen to this show or any other podcast at savetheclassroom.com. And you can find us on
anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the good stuff. Thanks, folks. Have a good night.
All right. Good night.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.